Rachel Simulcast of the Neil Haley Show and the Love Is Podcast. I'm excited to welcome the host of Love Is Podcast, Kim Sorrell. Kim, how are you? And I know you're excited about our guest.
I'm excited about our guest, and I'm doing great. Thank you, Neil. Ivan Decker is my new favorite comedian. He is hysterical. Born in Montreal. I've got a daughter-in-law from Montreal, but then moved to Vancouver. So you're a coast-to-coast kind of a guy. And you're so funny, relatable. The things that you talk about are, I just love it. I'm so excited to dive in. My first question for you, Ivan, after saying welcome to the show, is
Did you really
meet your wife because of a fundraiser?
I did. Yeah. I didn't exactly get into comedy to meet women, but it would be a bad plan because I never met a romantic partner through performance. And so if your plan is to meet a partner doing stand-up, the plan that worked for me was do it for 9.5 years, then you'll meet someone. So it took me that long before I finally had a romantic encounter. But yeah, I met my wife at a corporate gig, and it was crazy. It all worked out from there. It's wild that it happened, but you know, I'm excited.
Well, at that corporate gig, were you doing comedy or speaking or anything?
Yeah, so it was a fundraiser for multiple sclerosis, which is a cause that I always try to donate my time to. It's in my family. And so it kind of just lined up that the club booked me to do this gig. And I was like, OK, that's great. What a great cause. And then on top of that, I also met my wife. So pretty good night all around.
Right. Yeah. A little bit longer process than maybe Match.com, but you got there eventually. So that was OK.
Yeah. You got to write a lot more jokes when you're doing stand up than Match.com.
Right. Right. There you go. Yeah. Got to have a better profile somehow. So and now you're a father too, which has got to be exciting. 18 month old or so. How old is your?
Yeah, he just crossed 19 months last week. So he's, you know, he's starting to do the toddler stuff. Throwing is a lot of throwing. It's kind of crazy how, you know, when they're done their food, they're like, I'm not going to say anything about this, but I am going to throw all of it on the ground, and very meticulously too. Like, he's committed. He doesn't just throw a handful and be like, yeah, you get the message that I'm done. He'll get mad if you don't let him throw every single Cheerio onto the floor. And then he'll look at you like, pretty good, right? Cleaned it all up. Look at that.
So I've been kind of going out there and being a parent, and not because of your business, a lot of travel.
Yeah.
A lot of later nights, even if you are in town, never getting any sleep, right?
Yeah. Sleep, it's a lot.
Sleep deprived, right?
I mean, that's the thing. It's I talk about it on stage, but everybody warns you before you have a kid. They're like, you're not going to sleep. And I remember
I didn't sleep for 20 years, and now yeah, I finally woke up.
I was like, I can do it. I've stayed up all night drinking. Yeah, you ever stayed up all night not drinking? It's way worse. That's not nearly as fun.
Yeah, it's so true. It's so true. But thank goodness for cable TV or Netflix or something. Yeah. Because when I had kids, I don't think there was TV on after midnight. So congratulations. Oh, kudos to you. Yes.
Yeah.
And so you're an award-winning comedian, and you've got this new special that came out recently, Popcorn. I'm a popcorn, I hate to say addict, but definitely a big fan of popcorn. I love the way you talk about popcorn. And I'm curious, is it really your favorite snack?
Yeah, well, I just think it sits in this upper tier of snack. Like, obviously, you have cravings, you're in the mood for different things. But popcorn is unique in the fact that you can have it whenever. There's no time that popcorn shows up. You can eat an entire meal. You can be so full that someone pulls out a bowl of popcorn. And they're like, do you want this? You're like, oh, yeah, I'll eat that whole bowl. No problem. There's room in me.
Favorite types of popcorn? Go.
I'm actually, you know, this is controversial, but I'm a big fan of the Chicago mix. I like the cheese and caramel together. You get sweet and savory. It's a different ratio in each handful. It's a real treat. And, you know, sometimes it's fun. You get a whole handful of caramel. Oh, you won the sweet lottery.
And that is my favorite too. I got to say, Garrett's in Chicago is my favorite popcorn. I don't know if you've had Garrett's.
No, I haven't. Blend.
Oh,
I got
it. Once you have it, you'll never go back to anything else. It's so good, Garrett's. You got to get some, or give me your address. I'll send you some.
All right.
But so So I'm on the other end of things, but I want to talk more because I'm a grandma, but I want to talk more about your special because you've done other things. Popcorn is absolutely hilarious. You've already gotten tons of views. And what was it like? You filmed in front of a live audience. So kind of there's probably no editing. Like you just got to roll with it. What was that like to do it?
Yeah, it's definitely a fun. This is kind of the fun part of stand-up for me is I'm a real kind of joke craftsman. And you can tell if you watch the special just how many jokes I try to pack into each topic and the bridge and space between each joke and each laugh is I try to get that as narrow as possible. So for me, it's this very cool labor of love where I take the hour or the 40 minutes that I'm going to do for the special and I tour it around all across the country, go to clubs and just try it out in every different circumstance. And that's such a unique and I'm lucky to have this experience to be more of a national slash international comedian because I can try the material in front of as broad of an audience as possible. Sometimes when I did my first album, I hadn't really left Vancouver very much. And so I didn't even realize that there were a lot of references in there that people outside of the city aren't even going to understand. And so it's so fun to get to do something like this because I can try it out absolutely everywhere, figure out which jokes go where and make it really the best possible version. And then you're totally right. On the night, we filmed two shows back to back and we had those to cut between for editing, but that's it. We didn't do a large production and there was no stopping and starting. I just kind of came out and did the show and then left. And then we had to kind of salvage. If there was anything wrong, we had to kind of, you know, we hope we got it in two. Otherwise, you know, it's not making the cut, essentially. And so that part of it is very nerve-wracking. But the audience was phenomenal. They all showed up. I sold it out quite quickly, which was great. The club was so happy. They like took pictures of people lined up around the block for the late show because I hadn't been there since before the pandemic and they hadn't really had that kind of a response, especially not on a Thursday night. And so they were very thrilled. Everything went so well. And my director, Peter, is incredible. And he cut it together and made it look really, really nice, better than I could have ever done, of course. And wow. So I'm very pleased with it.
All right. So two things. First, popcorn. I love the gimmick popcorn. I call it the gimmick park. And the reason I use gimmick all the time is I'm a former professional wrestler. It's going back into wrestling at 51 again. I'm crazy.
Oh, nice.
But we'll talk about popcorn. I'm going to define popcorn in two ways. One is the gimmick popcorns, the expensive popcorns. You go to the mall and you get different flavors. I think it was Pittsburgh popcorn or something they have right in Pittsburgh. But it's just awesome to have those different popcorns. But I like the basic popcorn. But here's a bad connotation of popcorn. Here's a performer to performer question, okay?
Sure.
We call in wrestling the popcorn match. And the popcorn match is right before intermission. Do you have a popcorn match when you're on with other comedians? Do they call it popcorn anything?
There's popcorn movies, which I'm sure you've heard. And like I assume the popcorn match is like it's a match that people will leave early. They won't.
No, that's right before intermission. And then it's the roughest match to have is the popcorn match.
Okay. Yeah. Cause people they're feeling it's like movies too. I think it gives, you know, it's got a negative connotation because you're associating it with popcorn, but I think it also puts a positive spin onto popcorn itself and just shows you how great popcorn is that it can take this bad movie and lift it up. You're like, it's a popcorn movie. Meaning even though it's a bad movie, as long as you get to eat popcorn, you're going to have a good time.
Have you ever gone to the movies just for the popcorn?
I have, yeah, early on. I mean, it's the price difference is like, it's crazy, but you have to understand that it's like, it's the whole experience. They got this whole big machine and all that stuff. But yeah, I definitely know what you mean, Neil, and there is that negative connotation around it. But that was kind of the thing that I was thinking of too when I named the special popcorn is that it's not heavy. It's not I'm not trying to change anybody's mind with any of this material. Like, it's very much just fun. Anybody can watch it. You can show it to your kids, you can show it to your grandparents, and it makes it so much more fun and accessible for me when I get to have families that watch it together. Like, that's always a fun thing for me when I get messages from people being like, our whole family loves your act. And whereas if you have a specific focused style, sometimes you can lose that familial connection in people consuming your art.
All right. So I'm going to be correct on this, and this goes to live. originally described the popcorn match was originally described as a post-intermission match viewed as the not important enough to keep fans from trips to the concession stands, which we mentioned. Now describes more lighthearted match designed to provide relief of dramatic tension. And that's the other thing, is a popcorn match is kind of just a entertainment. It really doesn't have any gimmick. You're put in that position and things like that. So what the theme, we just brought popcorn up 25 times. I never thought I'd have an interview to talk about everything popcorn. Now they need to, now Orville Redenbacher needs to contact you and you get a sponsorship from them.
Yeah.
But tell us why you named it popcorn.
So that was kind of the idea. And the joke about popcorn was kind of a real, like, that's one of those, anybody who's created art knows every once in a while, there is a moment in your art creation where things, a project or a piece will just kind of erupt out of you in a way that pulls it forward. And it almost seems like it's doing its own, it takes on a life of its own. And that popcorn bit was the joke that I couldn't stop writing. Like, it just kept getting longer and longer and longer. And every time I told it, I would think of a new thing for it. And certain jokes, you know, you think you have this grand idea. You're like, oh, I'm going to, this will be a 20-minute bit. And then you're like, there's really only one good laugh in here. And then it becomes, you know, a 1-minute bit that you throw in between two other jokes. But the popcorn bit was so, like, it's, I think it comes in at like 9 minutes on the special or something like that. So it's quite a long time spent on one topic. And I know that's daunting for the audience to hear, but I assure you there are laughs along the way. You don't have to wait that long. But it's like, I realized that was kind of the focus. I also wanted a one word title. My previous album that won the Judo Award was called I Wanted to Be a Dinosaur. And it's too many words for people, hosts, things. You know, obviously you two are professionals, you would understand it, but like even Conan got it wrong when he said it, when he introduced me. And like every time I was on a show, people would be like, it's called I Want a Dinosaur or just whatever. So I was like, I'm going to make an easy name that anybody can say. That way nobody has to get it wrong in this time of like people needing to Google you and Google things about you. Having a simple prompt that people can remember.
That's good.
I think was part of what I went into the thinking of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that is good. I love the name and I love popcorn, so it all works for me. So you were a middle child.
Yes.
I believe, right? Two brothers, one older, one younger. And you solved issues through comedy. Is that how you started in comedy? Or how did you?
How
do you know you're funny?
I was always drawn to funniness. I think because of what you were saying, Neil, with the wrestling, the relief of dramatic tension, I think, is something a lot of people use comedy for. And in my household, you know, my parents split up when we were younger. And so there was a lot of negativity and stuff happening. And I always found that as the middle child, I was, I don't know, maybe I'll talk to a therapist about it someday. But I think the ability to deflect and just kind of move away from the tension or take the heaviness that sits after a fight or something bad happens and to be able to disperse it quickly with comedy and kind of get everybody back to like, all right, we're just hanging out, we're a family again. That was sort of, I think, the position I found myself in a lot as the middle child. And so also, you know, you need attention. So you got to get in there.
Right.
If you're the middle child, otherwise nobody's going to remember you.
I define a popcorn question in the beginning of an interview, especially if you're going to have a 30-minute interview with a top celebrity. Popcorn questions, very simple ones, no real smarts to them. Did you always want to be a comedian? So I call that a popcorn question. You really worked hard to get this book started, right? The only reason is to get the answer to lead us to something else. Then the ice is broken. Like, don't worry, I'm not going to ask you who's Beethoven. You know, tough questions. But we're going to get to really get to know you, and that's how I do it. I do very softball or popcorn type questions, first three or four, and then I hit people when they least expect it.
That's perfect. Yeah. Lure them in. The trick of popcorn.
Yeah.
Till they get their guard down. They're like, we're having a good time. We're having popcorn. And then bam, you trick them. That's good. I love interviews like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of like when you go to a tough movie, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
While you're eating the popcorn. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. You can look down. The popcorn is always there for you, even though it's high tension. Everything's scary.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. It's not going to desert you. It won't leave you.
Yeah.
So you became a comedian. There's, I'm sure, a lot of people who wish they could, but there's a lot of people who absolutely could never do what you do, but you actually have to get up on stage. At one point in time, you had your first show. And it's only you on stage. You know, you're not part of a team. You're not part of a something. It's only you just laid out for the audience to critique. What was that like? And what, and has it changed from when you started till now? What's your transition been like?
Yeah, it's definitely very daunting at first. And I think it's so daunting that it's, you can't even really grasp the magnitude of it at first. I think it's like when you have to get up in front of a group and speak in any situation, at a party or a corporate event or whatever it is, when someone's like, all right, it's your turn to speak. There's so much to worry about that it's almost like you can't even focus on it all. You kind of just have to go up and do it. And that's what you do for the first, like, as many times as you can. You just kind of get through it and feel all of the different weird feelings that you get and the nervousness, and you learn to just kind of live in that zone. And then now I think the way that I've progressed is, I'm not sure how you guys feel about it, but I definitely think that there's a, as a performer or any kind of artist, even athletes, before the show, the moment that everybody is going to focus on you.
Right.
It's the buildup that you learn to adapt with. Your pre-show or pre-event ritual is something that kind of builds out the longer you get, because the more experiences you have, I'm sure with wrestling, it's a big thing. Like, what do you do before you go out there? What kind of thoughts do you think? What kind of things do you do? Who do you talk to? Yeah. Who do you not talk to? What do you eat? You know, all that stuff, even down to like socks. I mean, there's some comedians that are very superstitious about that, but I think you learn to find comfort in that nervousness because it's never going to go away. No. You just want to have a little bit of control by establishing that ritual.
I have the ritual going live or doing a show all the time, where I've done over 20,000 in 15 years, that I have just learned specifically just to go. But that first question, that second question, that's like, okay, I could talk for hours, yeah. But get the opening and closing is the hardest thing. And I'm sure it's the same thing in the comedy. All right, Kim, I guess we're getting ready for the closing question, which is her love question. So go ahead, Kim.
Yeah. So Ivan, I dedicated a year to figuring out the true meaning of love, because love is, you know, a big question, right? What is love? And I was in Haiti most of the time. And I actually laughed a lot in Haiti, which, you know, you wouldn't look at Haiti and think of it as a place you'd laugh a lot, but you do. Or I did. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I found out things about love that I never knew about love. And I'm just curious where love plays a role in it, because you, I would imagine, have to love what you're doing, but then you're also drawn to your family. And where does love play a role in your life?
It's huge. It's, I think, a major motivator for me. I'm so lucky to be in such a loving family with my son and my wife. And I even think that my wife's relationship in that circumstance, I got very lucky. My wife and I got along from our first date, and it was just it was a feeling that I hadn't felt with anybody else up to that point. And it was this real thing of like, it's so cliched, but it's like when you know, when you meet the right person, you know right away. And it's this real thing where like the relationship, you know, feels like we're getting away with something. You're like, this shouldn't be, because I've been with people who it's so much more difficult. And so I'm just so blessed to be in that circumstance. But also, even just from the art form side, the performance aspect, you have to love comedy. You have to love what you're doing. And in my circumstance, what I learned early on and what I've tried to maintain throughout the years is I have to love the audience. I have to want them to enjoy themselves and to have a good time. Some comedians, some performers have a somewhat adversarial relationship with the audience, I think. They're like, I'm going to go out and smash. I'm going to kill, you know. I'm very much like, I love them. I want them to enjoy themselves. And doing that, it helps me to be in a place where I can have a lot more fun. Everybody can kind of relax and let their guard down. Because, you know, the way that you laugh with the people you love is on another level. When you're fully comfortable, when you know that you trust everybody in a room with you, when you're surrounded by loved ones, the way you laugh with your family or your friends.
Yeah.
That's such a pure high form. And I always think of that, the times that I've laughed with my brothers, like the giggling, uncontrollable giggling. That's like so insane. And as a comedian, it's like, it's so hard. You can't replicate that. There's little moments where you can kind of get close, but it's that pure form where there's just tears and everybody's laughing and having an incredible time. That's the goal for me, is if I can ever get there.
You will. You can. All the time. And then it's the best place people can go check you out. Where can they go?
I post all my tour dates on my Instagram account through my Linktree. I have everywhere that I'm going to be showing up there. It's also on my website, ivandecker.com. My Instagram is at ivanwdecker. Facebook is at Ivan Decker. That has a link to the Linktree as well. And then also, if you want to see what I do to get motivated to come see me, see the special on YouTube. It's just
thanks,
called
Ivan.
Popcorn.
Appreciate it, sir. Thanks for stopping
thank
by.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. That was a special simulcast. Neil Haley Show and Love is Podcast, guys. Take care.